101. Get the 411 on your 911. Here's your host and emergency room physician, Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome back to ER 101. We are engaged in a fascinating talk with Dr. Donald Edmondson. He's been studying post-traumatic stress disorder and heart disease, and he did a fascinating study that found heart attack survivors are more likely to develop true symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder, and then a more recent study that found if you came into the ER at the most overcrowded times, which we as ER doctors know that there was for all diagnoses, almost a 5% increased odds of having complications or increased mortality from overcrowded ERs. We've been shouting about it forever, saying this needs to be a top public health priority since we're the safety net. But in the this study, just really these two studies corroborate how serious this is. But I want to talk to you, Dr. Edmondson, and thanks again for staying on, about these symptoms. Like, how can people tell? What are the questions and criteria you use to decide if someone's having true post-traumatic stress disorder?
Sure, that's a great question. So post-traumatic stress disorder, most people think of it as kind of, a disorder of combat veterans or sexual assault survivors or whatever. And people, see movies about PTSD, with flashbacks to Vietnam or whatever.
Right.
There's some truth to that. But what we see in terms of heart attack patients and the questions that we ask them, what you should know is that within the first month after a heart attack, we expect people to have some psychological disruption. I mean, this is a life-threatening event. It's very scary. And people will often have a hard time not thinking about their heart attack. The heart attack becomes a major central part of their life, this frightening event that could happen again.
Mm-hmm.
And so within a month, we kind of expect that people will have some disruption. A month after the heart attack, if you're having symptoms from three sort of symptom clusters that I'm going to talk to you about, then that's an issue that you should think about seeing someone. So the first is a group of symptoms that we call re-experiencing. But what they really are is intrusive thoughts about the heart attack. So if you're going through your daily life and trying to get back to work or back to family events or whatever, and you find yourself thinking about the heart attack when you don't want to, then that's kind of a symptom. It's particularly if it's distressing to you. If having those intrusive thoughts about the heart attack and it's really distressing, and it's kind of coming out of nowhere and you can't keep them away. That's
so you're sort of reliving, like going to the hospital, the ambulance, people telling you you're constantly feeling like thinking about when it happened. Pretty much.
That's right. Basically, okay. Being stuck in that event mentally. You also see nightmares about the event, sleep disruption, that sort of cluster of symptoms. Secondly is avoidance symptoms. So not only are these thoughts and nightmares and things from that heart attack coming back to you and you don't want them, but you're actively trying not to experience them either in your mind cognitively or trying to avoid things in the environment that might remind you of the heart attack. So one really interesting thing that we've been thinking about a lot lately with stroke survivors, and we believe it's similar in heart attack survivors too, is that we find consistently that people who develop PTSD after these events are less adherent to their medications for secondary prevention. And mm-hmm. We're wondering if maybe this is a function of this avoidance behavior of trying not to think about the heart attack or the stroke, as it were. And so people are avoiding their medications, either consciously or unconsciously, as a way of keeping their own anxiety about that cardiovascular event check.
Hmm.
Finally, the third group of symptoms are physiological hyperarousal. And this is particularly difficult for heart attack patients because they find themselves keyed up in that kind of fight or flight mode, which means increased heart rate, sweaty palms, feeling on edge or having an exaggerated startle reflex. And particularly for people that are distressed about a heart attack in the past, those types of cardiovascular activity can be very distressing. because people often think that might be triggering another heart attack.
But you found in one of your studies that it does put you at more risk, because we know some of the contributing stressors to heart disease is this stress, this constant state of stress, the cortisol levels, the levels of these flight or fright hormones, which back in the day of killing mastodons and saber-toothed tigers was important. But if you're an accountant today, it's just causing a lot of problems in your health. And it's those things that do contribute to heart attacks. So it's like a vicious cycle that's happening.
Absolutely. I mean, that's really the take-home message, is that, and it's a difficult message to give to patients, because what we're asking you to do is calm down or you'll have another heart attack. Right. Which, particularly with people with PTSD, is from the heart attack, is kind of a non-starter. There's got to be another way of going about it.
Well, and what's interesting, it's true. So, and this is a little bit separate. You know, we always talked about depression and post-heart attack and stuff, but this is beyond just depression facing your mortality thing. This is true, reliving the heart attack, right?
Yes, and we think that we find across a number of different traumatic event types that depression and PTSD often go together, that people who are particularly distressed by a life-threatening event and develop PTSD will also end up having symptoms of depression along with that, which is itself a risk factor for future cardiac events and mortality.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of a bad cluster.
Yeah, it really is. And so what's interesting, I mean, the some of the tools that people, can cognitive therapy deal with this, medications, what do people do if they're finding themselves like this? Because you can't pick what time of the day you have your heart attack. So if you come into an overcrowded ER, you have to deal with this.
Yeah, so there's two things. You asked two really good questions there. The first question is, during the event itself, if you find yourself in an overcrowded emergency department and you find yourself really in a high emergency state yourself, where you're feeling like your life is in danger and you're feeling like you're out of control, realize that the vast majority of people survive heart attacks and go on to have perfectly good lives afterwards. So trying to tamp down that emotionality during the event can be helpful. But if that's not possible, and if you've already had your heart attack and you find yourself experiencing these PTSD symptoms, then yes, cognitive behavioral therapy is efficacious for reducing PTSD symptoms. There was just a trial that came out a year or two ago that found that cognitive behavioral therapy was a safe way to treat PTSD in heart attack patients, and it seems to work. So that's a good route to go. Also, antidepressants, SSRIs, tend to be kind of a first-line treatment for these types of symptoms. Obviously, that's something you need to discuss with your doctor to think about drug interactions. But yeah, we have good treatments for PTSD that people should really avail themselves of.
So this is such a good point, and these have been fascinating studies, and I think the big take-home message, too, is that don't ignore these symptoms, and it's not all in your head. So you really need to talk to your doctor if you're finding this, if it's your loved one that you're finding is having these symptoms. It's important to talk to your doctor and see what can be done, because you don't want to add one more risk factor to probable risk factors that you have for the heart attack in the first place. I want to thank my guest. This has been a fascinating study. We'll have to maybe talk about this more in the future.